Okay, I'd like to call the Capital Region of Council of Governments meeting ad hoc Committee for Crumbling Foundations at 1 o'clock prompt. Approval of October 14th, 2021 minutes. Do I have somebody to make that motion?
So moved.
And a second?
All right, I second.
Thanks, Christopher. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anybody against? If not, motion approved. Moving on to number three, HUD grant for assistance to LMI households. Pauline.
Thanks. I have lost my tone. Thanks to Congressman Courtney's office, CROG and NECOG received a $2 million community funding grant to help households suffering from crumbling foundations, focusing on low moderate income households. And that grant is being administered through through HUD. And CROG is working with CIFSIC, and we worked out a process in which we could use the CIFSIC process for the bulk of it, but we would be responsible for the LMI, or actually a consultant we hire would be responsible for determining LMI and assisting homeowners with additional items that are not covered under the CIFSIC remediation process. That application or that project has gone to HUD at this point in time, and we're awaiting to hear back from them in terms of what the timeline is and other items that we may have. And I have to once again thank Congressman Courtney's office for providing for that. And I'm happy to take any questions on it.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Is the application process going to be the same way that that they're going through municipalities right now for other programs that are administered through you and through the town? So like our social service agencies are seeing the applications and screening for LMI eligibility?
So it is going to be it is going to be similar to that process. What we would do is it's a dual process. One, the applicant has to apply through CIFSIC in terms of because that will be part of the application, and then also a secondary process to determine LMI. And then once that's determined, we would work with CIFSIC when they come up for their participating agreement to let them know how much is covered, what is covered under our program versus the CIFSIC program. And our intention is to pay the contractor directly when the home is being fixed. As you know, CIFSIC covers a certain amount, and as well as certain things, like they don't cover, there's a host of things that they don't cover that could be affected. And so this would encourage people to cover that.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Go ahead, John. John has his hand up.
Is there something we should be doing to let people know about this coming, or no?
Just not at this time, because I don't have a timeline from HUD yet. So I don't want to, you know, say this is coming, and then if I don't, so HUD has, as some of you who have dealt with HUD may know, they have some certain requirements. We have to do a program environmental review before we can implement it. I have yet to get direction in terms of what's involved in that. I'm hoping that it's the process is not long. So I don't have a good feeling in terms of what the timeline is. I don't even have a good idea in terms of a timeline from them on when I'll be receiving a contract. So and after that, it's going to take us some time to hire a consultant to do the LMI evaluation and things like that. So I think in terms of announcements, we would do that once we have some of those pieces in progress or soon to be in place. And, you know, it could be 3 months, it could be 6 months, it could be longer, hopefully not longer, but I can't be saying it better not be longer. But so I just I think it's premature to announce that, just that for this group to know that it will be coming.
Thank you.
Moving on to number four, potential items for legislative agendas. Yes, Matt.
Thank you, Lori. For those of you who I don't know, my name is Matt Hart. I'm CROG's executive director. I'm in roughly my ninth month on the job and happy to be here. So last week I did attend CIFSIC's annual meeting, and I'm very pleased to report that Steve Werbner, who I'm sure just about everybody knows, the former town manager in Tolland and Manchester before that, was reelected as president of the CIFSIC board. And Steve's extremely knowledgeable and I think a great fit for that role. So very pleased that he's willing to continue to do that in retirement. And I was selected as vice president and will work with Steve and the others. So we got a good report. CIFSIC has successfully replaced foundations for 642 homes in our region. That's pretty good progress to date. On the legislative side, I have developed a proposal for CROG's legislative committee to consider, and the committee will meet this Friday. And this item just talks about the importance of the State Bond Commission, on an annual basis over the next 3 years, allocating or approving more funding for CIFSIC. So as you may know, back in 2017, CIFSIC was scheduled to sunset on June 30th of this past year. And in 2021, the legislature acted and the governor signed Public Act 21-120, which eliminated that termination date and allocated an additional $100 million in bond funding, payable in four annual installments of $25 million apiece, starting on July 1st of 2022. So the Bond Commission did act and did allocate that $25 million, that first tranche. But CIFSIC, due to the pending applications it has already reserved that full $25 million. So it's going to be really important for the Bond Commission for each of the next 3 years to specifically authorize $25 million a year in order for CIFSIC to keep going. So I have included that item in CROG's proposed legislative agenda for our committee to review later this week, and then we would submit it to our policy board for endorsement next month or January at the latest. So that's one item we have earmarked for our legislative agenda right now, and happy to take any other suggestions that committee members may have.
Question
from Representative Delnicki.
Yeah, question from Representative Delnicki. We also have the surcharge, and I'm trying to recall when that is going to sunset. And should we be looking at that from the standpoint of extending it?
Yeah, I think
it's about $11.7, maybe $12 million every year.
Yeah. But I think I'll get back to the committee and verify this. I think we're anticipating $77 million in funding overall for that program. And we're expecting both funding sources to that and the state bond funding, as long as it continues to be approved, to take us through 2030. But we do think we're still probably going to need some additional funding on top of that.
Yeah, that's why I raised that issue.
At
some point, we need to take a look at that because at some point it will sunset if we don't take action.
Yeah. So I will thank you for raising that, Representative, and I'll get back to you all with more specific detail. I think that's called the Healthy Homes surcharge, I believe.
Yep, the $12 surcharge on homeowner policies.
Moving on to number five, update.
I think John has his hands raised.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry too. should have raised my hand formally. Last year, a bill was introduced, and I didn't backtrack who introduced it, to allow a Connecticut income tax reduction for crumbling foundation expenses. And I didn't know whether that were not covered by other funds, similar to other indemnity losses that are allowed under federal tax laws. And I didn't know whether we wanted to look at that and consider supporting that, but I thought it was an innovative way to help fill the gap for people that are having the other unexpected expenses that aren't covered, like all your patios, sidewalks, porches, etc.
So Representative Delnicki has a comment in response to that, John. Thanks for raising that one.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, John. My recollection of that, I think I was working with Representative Luxenberg, I think, on that issue. And I would certainly support that again, being offered as a piece of legislation, because you're right, it could help some folks that could fill in some of the gaps in what they have to do to get their homes taken care of with that deduction. So I think that's a good idea.
So John, we can also raise that with our legislative committee meeting on this Friday. I know you've been participating in those meetings. And yeah. I will also ask Kathy Lutz, our government affairs, our lobbyist, CROG's lobbyist, to look into that issue.
I don't think it made it out of committee.
Yeah. No, it didn't.
And back to you, Lori.
Thank you. Moving on to 5, update on Trinity College research. Christopher Gitz from Trinity.
Thank you for having us. Let me see. I think this is a slide I want to share. All right. Can you see my summary slide?
Yes.
Because my screen all suddenly changed. thanks for having me today. Usually John Gourley is the one who attends those meetings, but he's teaching right now, so we have to put up with me. We've added quite a few houses since we gave our last report. We analyzed 527 houses. The 527th was yesterday. And people often ask us whether there is a safe level of pyrotite concentrations. And we can't really say that, but so far for those 527 houses, over 1,000 data points, we found no map cracking for a susceptibility loss of about 5 × 10⁸. That is down there, there's all those green points right down there. And the good news is that that corresponds to approximately 0.15% pyrotite by weight in the concrete. And the good news, that's good news because that's actually in line with the recently adopted or proposed standards for aggregate. Yeah? So all those numbers, they come together and start to make sense. Yeah? Mm. You often ask, whether there is any trends in time, whether we can say something about house age and if a house is so and so old and so on, are there any difference in changes? And unfortunately, I mean, this graph right over here looks like there's a lot of data points on there, which there are, but as soon as you start divvy it up and divide it up into different ages, let's say every decade or so, the number, especially for some decades, becomes really, really sparse. So we can't really make any good statistical predictions about that. That's what I have, short and sweet. Happy to answer any questions or try to answer them if I can.
Are you still looking for sample locations or?
Yeah. Yeah. Continuously measuring. We're measuring a few every month, and yes.
Does the household already have to have borings done, or do you come in and do the borings first?
We have an engineer who does the borings for us. I mean, actually, so all these data, we have our own engineers, and John Gourley can tell you more about the details on this one. So we can make sure that we know where those samples come from. And we also ask people a little bit about their houses, because hopefully at one point we will be able to answer other things like how does the drainage affect it? Because pyrotite is one factor in this problem, but there are plenty of others. I mean, there are houses that have a lot of pyrotite and show no signal and no signs of deterioration. And others that should be fine look pretty bad. So we're trying to collect more data than we show you right now. And hopefully one day we can make sense of all of that.
Because I know a lot of people, including myself, have had just the engineering test and everyday core samples.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And I have hairline cracks. So I'm up for it in the cysts cycle. But it hasn't changed at all. So I'm wondering now whether I should do something, and I know this is now personal, but whether I should get some other testing to say, do I really need to do this, or is it stable?
Yeah, I mean, I'm removed from the day-to-day every house site. Yeah, I just run the magnetic analyses. I think an engineering test, just looking at cracks, doesn't tell you much about pyrotite unless they're obvious. But then I go out to Bradley Airport, and there are concrete pillars that are cracked, and I don't think they have probably pyrotite in them. So, yeah.
All right.
And the only way to find out is to test for it.
All right, thank you.
I'd be happy to take a sample too, but I mean,
all right.
But there are others too. So I mean,
I could talk to Pauline. Thank you.
Yeah, sounds good.
Moving on to 6 staff reports, please. Matt and Pauline.
Oops. Kind of.
I know we covered the 2 million program that we're planning to conduct in collaboration with CIFSIC. And we wanted to talk about the legislative program as well. I'm not sure if we had anything else under staff reports, Pauline. Those are the main things.
You know what? I just had a quick update on the foundation testing program. We heard from, the contract with Department of Housing was set to expire December of this year. We heard from DOH that they will be extending that because there's still money left over from that original bonding. And we heard from them that their intent is to extend it. The last time we had to extend it, we received the extension like the week before December 31st. So that's my expectation in terms of the timing of that. And in terms of updates, we've received a total of 3,576 applications. We've paid 3,273, I think. And we continue to, we're probably processing probably 10 a week. Or 10 every 2 weeks, so five, to, you know, thereabouts. So that has significantly dropped off, but they're still in the pipeline. There's still ones coming through in the pipeline. So that's the only additional update I have in addition to CIFSIC and the legislative agenda.
Moving on to 7, other business. Do we have any other business, Matt?
I'm sorry to dominate the discussion, but. Is it time for us to hold some other public forum on this? You know, it's really been a number of years and there are new householders and, I'm not saying that it is needed. I'm just wondering what people's opinion on, you know, we had years of overflowing auditoriums and now we've just settled down into this, you know, kind of quiet pace of 2 years of very little discussion about it. And as a public policy thing, I swear if I was going to get my PhD, we should write a paper on this as a public policy success, because I've never seen anything that's worked so well. But I'm just wondering whether having some type of public forum, inviting our elected officials again, would answer people who were late to the game or are new to the game, but also keep an awareness of this. Because at some point when the money runs out, we don't have kind of the sense of urgency anymore.
John, I was thinking the same thing, but I was wondering if we should wait until the summer when it's nicer for people to come out. It's up to you. That way it'll give us time to get things organized.
Well, I think maybe in conjunction with once we know about this grant, that might be an opportunity to do it. I just think we have to be aware that as any public policy issue, as when it becomes in the background and routine, and then you need something, you're not there. You know, we had such a good group of people working on this issue, and we just got to keep them together.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree, you know, it doesn't have to be this winter, and I think it may be a good kickoff and an announcement, especially because that would be exciting news that there might be additional resources for some people.
Right. I think that might be a good time to do it. And hopefully it is this spring, you know, April, May timeframe in terms of that. I'm knocking on something. Is this wood? and so we can definitely plan on something. I think it would be a great idea to have it as a kickoff sort of for this or an announcement. Oh, Ayanti has her hand up.
So unbeknownst to you, Pauline, that was kind of already in our mind framed of doing something in a public way with the office and with you and with CIFSIC. Also kind of in conjunction with the introduction of additional legislation regarding casualty loss deduction, we can definitely make it a broader event like we're used to up at the high school or wherever, you know, given your interest in doing something like that. But that was always something that we were going to probably do. And just to give a general update of what's happening on the federal side across the board. So happy to expand and include any other folks who want to participate.
Awesome.
Beth?
Oh, just to follow up to that. So Ayanti, are you saying that your office is going to move forward to schedule this? Would you be amenable to CROG and CIFSIC working to help plan this as well?
Of course. Oh, no, we wouldn't do it on our own. No, yeah. This is like we kind of push this on you, and we're grateful that you guys have been willing to kind of just take the lead and make this happen. But it would be a collaborative effort. Absolutely. We wouldn't just go ahead and do it on our own without you. Absolutely not.
Yeah. But, no,
but that was something that we had wanted and envisioned doing anyway.
Okay, thank you.
We can make it bigger than just this particular aspect of the community project funding and incorporate other entities into that if that's something that you desired to do.
Great, yeah.
But I think bringing in, you know, how you can get loans in addition to this, cover the other pieces, because a lot of people don't know that that's also available. And reminder of some people that have insurers that may be contributing. There's a lot of facts out here that people kind of have lost track of, that some insurers will pay a certain portion. So I think we have a lot of education here. And I don't think that it's all in one place written down anywhere either, but the congressman certainly could take the lead in announcing this great loan grant program once we know how it works. But we can go through kind of a whole schedule of these other factual updates that are still there and success stories. You know, God, 642 houses. If you had asked any of us, you know, 3 or 4 years from now, whether that would have happened, it's like, that's just amazing. It's just amazing progress. And
yeah, it really is.
The one advantage may be look at the legislative calendar when kind of bills, the deadlines are too for the state government, if we have some, because that could be an opportunity too, unless you're going to try to sneak something into an implementer bill, which seems more successful than anything else these days. But that's why the bills are getting up to 900 pages.
I'd be happy to host if you're looking for a place.
go back to where it all started.
Yeah, right? Ellington High School.
Yep.
Oh, and that's one other thing that I remember, that there was a review of all our school buildings and public buildings. I haven't seen the results of that.
So I can report on that, Lori.
Yep.
So CIFSEC conducted an analysis there, and Michael McLaris presented to the board last week. Based on their review, investigation, et cetera, they don't see a significant need, which is good news. I don't know if you have any different evidence, John. With respect to UConn, though, I don't know that we had success in testing any university-owned buildings. But Michael's determination, and I'm happy to share that with the rest of the group here, is that we do not have an issue with public buildings. You know, due primarily in part that most of our inventory was constructed, you know, well before the time frame, well before 1980. Understanding we've had some updates, newer schools, et cetera. I see somebody has their hand up on that.
Hi, Jamie Foster, the state rep from Ellington and East Windsor and Vernon. I'm confused about that because there's at least two school buildings in Ellington that tested positive. So how is that?
I'd be happy to follow up with Michael. I was not aware of that.
Yes. I mean, so for me, legislatively, I was anticipating that we would think of a plan moving forward. I think like it's not likely to be a sustainable plan for state governance to have decisions like we've done for the Talon School and now the Windermere School in Ellington for repair of crumbling foundations and school buildings. Perhaps we don't want a school by school basis. We want to set like a precedent to apply for all buildings that test positive moving forward. And I was hoping to see the results for that moving forward. But my understanding too was that I think there's one in East Windsor also impacted. I'll follow up and get an answer to that, but that would be very surprising to me. And different than what I'm hearing. So I'm wondering if he's talking about municipal buildings excluding schools or.
Mm. I believe it was a pretty broad inventory of municipal buildings and schools.
And we participated, Lori, in that in Ellington, right? We participated in the study. We reported our data to them.
Yes, but just because it tested positive doesn't mean it's actual, just like John was saying a little bit earlier, doesn't mean it's definitely crumbling.
But there's
my home would test positive, but I'm fine. I think a lot of it has to do with drainage, and there's a lot of factors that go into it for different situations.
Well, I will follow up with Michael and provide more information to the group here.
Do we have any other business?
I think Jim wanted to give an update on where UConn is.
Sure.
Thank you. Let me just real quick.
Share. Jim, hold on. If you want to share, I have to make you. Okay.
Sorry about that.
Now you can share. There we go.
So I only have a couple, just three, four slides. So yeah, we've been continuing our research at UConn through the funding we received through NIST. And so to date, we've sampled about 85 houses using our drilling technique. The idea of this is that we can get in and out quick, minimal disruption, that kind of thing. And we're in and out of people's houses within about 60 to 90 minutes. So one of the things we've noticed, though, is that the request for testing has dropped off tremendously over the last 6 months or so. And so, as Christoph was saying, I mean, obviously, we need the more we get, the more that we can better refine our research and expedite our research. The other thing that we're looking for are chunks of concrete from foundation replacements. So we've collected concrete from about 40 different foundation replacements. We are happy to come pick it up. If people contact us, we're able to get out there usually within about 24 hours. We're using this concrete for many different purposes. And it's nice having the foundation replacement concrete because we know that that concrete, those foundations were bad enough that they needed to be replaced. As we're all aware, pyrotite content is one metric we can use. The higher the pyrotite concentration, the more likely it is to fail. And obviously the less we have, the less likely it is to fail. But that leaves us a big chunk in the middle. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to develop a accelerated test that can actually work off of cores that we take out of people's basements. So we actually have the exact concrete. And if we can get this accelerated testing to work, that's going to be a big tool for us to be able to then assess the risk for that particular concrete. Because there are many other factors, as people have kind of alluded to, that may affect whether or not that concrete is going to fail, such as the permeability of the concrete, other minerals present, things like that. And so it's really important for us to be able to get these samples so that we can expedite this research and keep it moving forward, because there's going to be a large chunk of people, like John was talking about his own house, that are kind of going to be stuck in the middle and don't have an answer one way or the other. And so by developing this accelerated test, we are hoping to be able to answer those questions for those people with a fair degree of certainty. And our preliminary work on this test, it's very, very preliminary, but it does look promising. So hopefully we can make that happen. And so one more plea, the more samples we can get, the better off we will be. People can contact me. I will make sure that one of my folks gets out there so we can get the chunks of concrete. We can also drill foundations. There's no cost to homeowners. And so we can do that testing that way. So thanks for giving me a moment just to give this update. And if anybody has any questions, good to go.
Jim, John Elsesser, just one thing I would suggest, and I don't know if this has happened, but I'm not aware of it, that UConn has a letter or pamphlet that goes in each of the town's building offices when they come in to get permits for the crumbling foundation repair. They can be handed a brochure to say, let us pick up a chunk of concrete.
That's a great idea.
So it just, our building officials could be your emissary to say, and you know, call this number when the project's underway.
Right. Excellent idea. Thank you.
And we can also put up, if you send me something, we can also put up something on our qualified vendors website, you know, that page where people look for qualified vendors.
Too. Right. Yeah. We've talked to many of the contractors and their intentions are good, but obviously they're busy and calling us is the last thing on their mind. Right. So they'll call us once or twice and then it kind of just slips off the radar.
Yeah. But the homeowner might be able to call you instead. They might have more of an interest.
Right. So yeah, we'll put something together in the next week or two and get it out to folks. That's a great idea.
Thanks, Jim.
Anybody have anything else? Any other business?
So do we need to like schedule a meeting for February, April for a future meeting or put together a planning committee or something? But I think this has been a long time between meetings, partly because of COVID, partly because things are working very smoothly, which is great news. But I just didn't know if we're going to host or work with the congressman to host something, whether we should have at least a small group to get together, if not this whole group.
We could have another meeting in February if you'd like. Yes, Matt.
Thank you. You know, it might make sense, and I'm new to this, or I was involved at the beginning when I was in Mansfield, but haven't been as involved in recent years. But perhaps a quarterly meeting, you know, would make sense for us. And I would also suggest that we could invite perhaps Michael from CIFSIC to provide a report. You know, he probably could have answered a few of the questions that came up today. So I would suggest a quarterly meeting and have CIFSIC report as a regular recurring agenda item.
Sounds good. And I just have one follow-up question. Didn't the state fund a position in the State Department of Housing for this issue, and what happened to it?
So that position still exists. Lena Hollerin is the Crumbling Foundation's advocate within the Department of Housing. she's our primary contact for Crumbling Foundation's testing program.
All right. So if we have quarterly meetings, it would be good to hear from her too.
Yeah.
We will see.
Since it was funded with a legislative intent to serve this issue and not just be another staff person. I can say things you can't, Pauline. So anyways, it would be important that be added as an agenda item.
We will do that. Do we want to set a time or do we want to?
We can let you look at your calendars.
Okay. Yeah, Pauline, let's work to set a schedule for all of next year.
I'm wondering about setting it right after the policy board meeting is in general. I don't know how our policy board members feel about that. It is in the middle of the day, so it might be more difficult for others. I mean,
We just also were able to get a lot of legislators there. Mm-hmm. So maybe Tom has some ideas on when the best time for that is.
Especially during the session, yeah.
Yeah, during the session, and if we're like have some specific bills, making sure that they know of them or add value to them. So, Pauline, maybe you can.
Okay, I'll work with the legislators and we'll.
Because I think that's very helpful because there's a lot that happens when, hey, you live in one of those towns in the hallways if they actually hold meetings in person. A lot happened in the lobbies of conversations that may come back. And that is important to spread the both the good word and the concerns.
So that's a good idea. We can make sure to, I don't know, I got the email for this, Pauline, but I don't know if all the members of the Crumbling Foundation's caucus were invited or if you have that listserv email.
We do. And I'm not, I don't think it was updated. So we'll update it after the elections are all, well, since the elections just happened, we will update them so that it accurately reflects those members, the legislators who are in the appropriate regions. I think it was a little outdated. The list was a little outdated. So people who have been around for a while were definitely on the list, but I'm not sure that everyone was.
We can, Tom and I can also bring content from this back to the caucus and convene a meeting ahead of next session too, as a caucus on bill proposals. There were two ideas that were sort of in the ether last year that weren't discussed today that I'd like plan to bring back as points for conversation. One being, is there a standard set of recommendations for municipalities for waiving of permit fees for associated permits required for the repair of crumbling foundations? It seems like there's pretty inconsistent permitting costs, and obviously that's negligible in the cost of the total repair of crumbling foundations, but I think each one of those bills feels very oppressive to a family repairing crumbling foundations. And the other one was related to duration of tax exemptions by municipalities and how long those were leveraged to make sure that, you know, towns had the opportunity to collect taxes from people who were, once they were repaired, or if they're on the list and getting repaired, or if they're choosing not to seek repair, that there is a standard set in place way without like negatively impacting the, you know, subjectivity that we need assessors to have, but that people are getting fair breaks on their taxes, and that the towns aren't negatively impacted. So those, I think, will come back again. But those are the only things that I have in my list of 2023 bill introductions, so related to Crumbling Foundation. So I'm certain that there'll be other people who have more bill introduction ideas. And I think we're still in the throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks from the bond perspective. Maybe we can get more. So.
Anybody have anything else? If not, about a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and probably see you at 4 o'clock.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now.